Ben Fred Fridays is always brought to you by Henderson Watercutty, law firm based here in Clayton, licensed in Missouri and Illinois. No matter how big or small the offense, STLCriminalDefense.com. Look at their website, goes through everything, STLCriminalDefense.com, and they are open 24/7, and check them out, Henderson Watercutty. Ben Fred, good morning to you on this Friday morning, and the Cardinals are in the National League Championship Series. Boy, this time last year, I didn't think there's any chance the turnaround would be this quick, but it has been under Mike Schilt. He makes great speeches, and away he goes for game one.
Subtle, Dan. That was quite the post game speech by Mike Schilt, and I had a chance to talk with him about that today, and I had one question for him. I said, have you heard from your mother? And he said, yes, I have. And that, I think that conversation was probably reflected in his apology today. Look, I don't think Mike Schilt needed to make an apology. I thought it was, I thought that video, did probably as much good PR for him as anything, but I did appreciate and understand why he was apologetic, and he was kind of, I think, embarrassed by it, and that's not really the image that he wants to portray. But you know what, Dan, I think for the fans, it captured an image of him that the players see. I know you see it, but I don't know that everybody knows it's there. I mean, Mike is, you know, he's got his glasses, he's got his very reserved approach when he's talking about his decisions. He never gets mad about moves that people question, and we don't really see that side of him too much, except for maybe when a hot mic on the field catches it when he's going after an umpire. But this was Mike Schilt on the fiery side, and it's what his players love, and it's why they want to run through a wall for him.
You know, tonight to me is so important. The Nationals have Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Patrick Corbin lined up for games 2, 3, and 4. It's going to go Strasburg, Scherzer, Corbin. And tonight the Cardinals see Anibal Sanchez. They go with Miles Michaelis in game number one. What did you think of the selection of Miles for game one of the NLCS?
Well, I think it's the Cardinals continuing to show that they're going to trust Miles and put a lot of faith in him. And I said it before, but I'll say it again. He's always kind of one start away from being just absolutely dominant. And that's how close he is with his pitches. And he hasn't always had the command this year, but he throws five pitches, and if he has the right feel for him, then he can be tough to hit. I think you have to win this game against Anibal Sanchez, and it's not a knock on him, but there's a reason that he, you know, is the fifth starter in this rotation. The Cardinals want to get to the bullpen of the Nationals. That's ripe for runs. It's a terrible bullpen, you know, one of the worst in baseball, and there's a reason that Strasburg and Scherzer have both made appearances out of relief. So the Cardinals should have the advantage in this game one, and they need Miles to pitch like he's paid to pitch. They need him to deliver, and he should be, you know, should be in good shape at home. And I also like, you know, the way it sets up for Adam Wainwright at home too, with the way he pitched the last time out. There's going to be a lot of wondering how the middle of this Nats order is going to handle the Cardinals starters. But I think the Cardinals are in pretty good shape here.
Wainwright goes game two, potentially two home starts if the series would return to St. Louis for game 6 and 7. And then that lines up for Jack Flaherty to start game three on Monday in Washington, and then Dakota Hudson game four at Nationals Park on Tuesday. And then Hudson potentially could work out of the bullpen in games 1 and 2. So I think looking pitching-wise, at least initially, I like where the Cardinals stack up right now.
Yeah, and I like what you've seen out of, you know, like Miles Michaelis came out of the bullpen and pitched well, and I think Schilt will be more willing to do that in this series with a guy like Hudson. We haven't seen that yet. So that kind of strengthens the bullpen a little bit. And you know, for as much conversation, Dan, as there was about Jack Flaherty going deep in the Game 5, deeper than a lot of people thought he should, one thing it did do was kind of spare that bullpen a little bit. So those guys should be rested and fresh. You can pick your you know, decision there of who do you want to spare, Jack Flaherty or the bullpen. But I do think the Cardinals made the right call there. A, Jack Flaherty's a young guy. He's not used to being thrown at a postseason period, let alone thrown at a postseason like Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw. And we've seen mixed results with that. So I didn't hate the idea of keeping Jack on his schedule, of letting him go out there and feast, and keeping him, you know, in line to continue to make those regular starts. Now, if they get to crunch time and they need him on short rest, then do it. But I don't know that you have to rush into that scenario if you don't feel like you have to. So he saved the bullpen, and now the bullpen needs to come around. And stacked up against this Nats bullpen, the Cardinals have a strength there. Now, the question will be if the Cardinals can keep some of those runs coming, because they kind of look like an offense that was breaking loose in that game five against Atlanta. And the way this Nationals lineup hit against the Dodgers, you're going to need runs. I mean, you look at Juan Soto and Anthony Rendon have been able to do, what Trey Turner can do. The Nationals have, you know, four guys, I think, in the top six of their lineup that are hitting above 800 OPS in the postseason. So they're doing damage, and the Cardinals are going to need more guys than Marcell Ozuna and Paul Goldschmidt to find some runs for them.
You led me right into Dexter Fowler. I thought he had the key at bat in that huge win against the Atlanta Braves, that leadoff walk. I thought it was a terrific at bat. And then the other thing was Paul DeJong, a couple of knocks that he had. And if you can get DeJong then to lengthen your lineup and get Fowler going at the top, this is where the Cardinals can be very, very dangerous.
Totally. And I thought DeJong and Dex would have a good game five, just for the sake of they both are better hitters than we've seen. And it can't be this bad for this long. And I know DeJong's tired, and he's played a ton of innings, and they've got to figure out a way moving forward to get him some rest at shortstop. But, you know, he's got to find that extra reserve tank. And I think you saw the weight of the world come off his shoulders when he got to that second base on that double in game five and kind of, you know, celebrated with the bench. You felt like that was a moment for him. And, man, I heard you say in the post game, and I couldn't agree more, that walk that Dexter Fowler worked to start that game, I don't think you could say how big that was. He looked like he was going to strike out. I mean, he fought back tooth and nail to get on base, and then the Cardinals started to make things happen. It's funny that I've heard people say this, and I agree. You know, the Cardinals scored 10 runs trying to get one with the way they handled that first inning, and I wouldn't hate to see that continue. This lineup was pretty impressive in that it didn't even hit a home run in that game. And you don't know what happens when you just put pressure on, as Colton Wong said, when you just get guys on base. Tony La Russa always said it, in the postseason things change. It's not individual offense. It's get a guy on, get him over, and get him in. And that's what Yadier Molina does better than anybody, and there's a reason he does it, is because he learned it repeatedly from Tony La Russa. It's don't go up there and hit the moon. Go up there and make the play that's best for your teammates. And when this lineup can do that, and it has everybody bought in on that, then they can be pretty dynamic. And I think you're going to see them continue to buy into that approach because they've seen how it can pay off for them. I mean, Yadier Molina goes up there and hits a huge sac fly to win the game in game four. You see Marcell Ozuna taking sliders the opposite way in game five, something that we've watched him really struggle to do this season. It just seemed to me like Jeff Albert and the Cardinals coaches got those guys together and said, look, you know, we need to go out and play a team approach to this offense and this lineup and see what happens. And I think they have to like the results of what happened.
Who do you like in the series?
You know, I'm going to pick the Cardinals, Dan. I think at this point, you know, they have the pitching depth, and especially in the bullpen, and with what we saw out of the offense, then I think they could win this series. I think it's going to go down to the last game. That seems to be the Cardinals' nature, whether they win or lose. So I would pick a game seven and Cardinals in seven. And one thing to point out, though, too, is the Cardinals cannot count on the Nationals wetting the bed anymore. These are the big boy Nationals, and in years past, the Nationals, I think, got into these games against the Cardinals, and they would think they were over, and they weren't. And you would kind of see which team had been there and done that, and which team had matured. And even in the crowds, they thought games were over before they were. And you know, the Pete Cosma jokes will come out and be talked about again. But understand what this Nationals team has been through. This is a team that lost Bryce Harper and has made this run, won its first postseason series. They were 19-31 at one point. They've dealt with a manager who had heart problems and had to be hospitalized and came out. They have fought tooth and nail to get to this point, and now they've got some demons out of their closet by dethroning the 106-win Dodgers. So they're not going to beat themselves anymore. I think for a while you could count on them doing that. You're gonna have to beat them out, and they're in some ways resilient, like the Cardinals have been resilient. So it should be a great series.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis. And Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements. Let's talk a little bit about homecoming for Mizzou. This is brought to you by Henderson Watercutty Law Firm right here in St. Louis, located in Clayton. stlcriminaldefense.com, stlcriminaldefense.com. Mizzou, homecoming, they are favored. Who do you like between Mizzou and Ole Miss?
Well, I like Mizzou to win. Sound like a homer on this podcast, but I don't think they're going to cover the spread. And here's why. They've got a couple pretty big question marks, and it starts with Cale Garrett, who's going to likely miss the rest of the season with that torn pec muscle. Dan, he had been one of the best defensive players in the country so far this season, on All-American level with his tackles for loss, with his just amount of tackles, also his interceptions and just his big plays for that defense that was shaping up to be a top 10 defense in the country. Still can be, but they're going to have to do it without the quarterback of their defense. So that's a huge question mark. The other one is Kelly Bryant. At the game on Saturday, last Saturday, watching him play against Troy, I thought he was going to be done. That late low hit by a Troy defensive lineman really twist his knee. It was a bad look. It looked like it was the twist and pop that you see with an ACL tear, but they dodged a bullet, and they say it's only a sprained knee. Now, he says he's 100%. We will see. How he plays. I want to see how he moves, how he runs. And here's what my reasoning is for picking this to be a close game and potentially a scary game for Mizzou. They have a quarterback in a new freshman quarterback at Ole Miss who has been running the ball like crazy. He's averaging more yards per run than he is per pass. And they also have a pretty good defensive line. So when you have a running quarterback and a great rushing offense, and that's what this is under Rich Rodriguez, then you're going to miss your middle linebacker. So that's a big concern for me. And then the other thing is they've got a pretty good defensive line. I got big Benito Jones at nose tackle for the Rebels, and he's going to be trying to cause Kelly Bryant problems. So until we see how Kelly Bryant moves around, then big objective of this game is for the offensive line to try to keep this defensive line off their quarterback, who could potentially have a bit of a broken wheel here.
After the loss to Wyoming, have we really figured out if Mizzou has made that much improvement with the schedule that they played?
We know the defense is quite a bit better. At least it was before Cale Garrett went out. Now we don't know, right? I mean, he was the heart and soul of that defense. They, since then, Dan, have gotten more pressure on the defensive front. They have been much more stingy in the passing game, just in creating turnovers, picking off passes. They've been making big plays, and they've also just been making solid plays. They haven't given up very many big plays. They haven't been gashed for big runs. And that's something that really hurt them against Wyoming, and it stopped. After that, I was really impressed with what they did against Troy's offense, because that's an offense that scored a ton of points, even against good teams that it had lost to. It moved the ball, and Missouri allowed them 3 third down conversions in the first drive, and then none the rest of the first half. And they had the game won by halftime. So the defense is legit, but it just took a pretty serious blow to a cornerstone player in Cale Garrett. Now, every player around him is going to have to play a little bit better. And then still they'll probably be at a disadvantage. That's how good he's played. So this will be a test of their run defense. Ole Miss will tell you exactly what it wants to do. It wants to run the ball. It's got guys, three guys in the last game who broke open runs of 50-plus yards. So if Missouri is, you know, missing a step in tackling, if by not having Cale Garrett, their leader, out there, they're going to blow assignments. They're going to get taken advantage of on the ground. So we'll learn a little bit more about their depth on Saturday for sure.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Are you positive that Kelly Bryant will play in that game? Do you have the feeling that there's no doubt?
About anything when it comes to injuries at Mizzou, and I mean that seriously. I mean, we were told on Saturday at the Troy game that Cale Garrett was getting treatment and that he wasn't hurt, and then he's out for the season. So. Kelly Bryant said this week that he was practicing at 90%. He said he would be out there. He's on the depth chart. This would be a pretty serious, deception move from Barry Odom, and I don't think he would do that. Now, if they put him out there and he can't move, or if he looks limited, then they might pull him out. As we've seen with Cardinals players, I don't trust much of anything until I see how they play, and I think we're going to learn pretty soon just how limited Kelly Bryant is and just how much of a bullet they may have dodged, or if this is something that he's going to be banged up for a while.
Wrap it up with this. Some news with the Rams, their lawsuit with the city of St. Louis and Stan Kroenke. What's happening there?
Well, I just saw Randy Carricker's report that it seems like he's got some intel that the Supreme Court is going to let the Rams take this to arbitration. And for folks who aren't kind of following what that means, is it's good news. And it means that it's another step toward this thing actually getting to, be settled through discovery, so arbitration is basically the soft, friendly version of letting it being decided out and hammered in court. Arbitration is oftentimes not under oath. It's kind of a how do we get this solved type of arrangement versus discovery, and, which is kind of the no holds barred. Get somebody on a stand and go after it. I know that's what the lawyers on the St. Louis side of this thing want. I know it's what the NFL desperately wants to avoid. So anything that moves it a step closer to that is good news. And I'm just thrilled that, even if it goes nowhere from here, I'm just thrilled that St. Louis has had so many little wins on this tour of battles in the war against relocation. I think it's great. I think it's great that some fans got their money for the personal seat license back. I think it's great that fans got some money from their merchandising things back, and hopefully this is the big fish. I mean, this relocation thing, this lawsuit against the league and its owners and the Rams is the big one. And hopefully they keep getting good news, because I think it really could change the landscape of the way this is handled in the future. And I think St. Louis could have a pretty big part in the NFL not being able to run this rip job scam on other cities.
Could you imagine if those guys had to hit the stand or there's a deposition with them under oath?
I think they'll avoid it any way possible.
Absolutely.
I wonder, I've heard some people say, well, what about if they offered an expansion?
What's the price tag?
To move a team? And maybe it gets to that. I don't know that St. Louis would be interested in that, to be honest, Dan. It's really, and I don't speak for everyone, so I'll be cognizant of that, but why would you want to welcome back the league that did that? I would much rather say, no, we're going to take this to the finish line. And I think the folks in charge of this lawsuit, they don't seem to be interested in consolation prizes or some sort of settlement. They want to do this the hard way, and they have the staying power, I think, to see this thing through. So I just commend them on doing it, and I hope they get support from the people who might throw up their arms and say, why are we doing this? Well, you're doing this because at some point along the way, you have to stick up for yourself, and you have to stick a finger in the chest of people who take advantage of you. And I think that's what this is about.
Good stuff, Ben. As always, I'll see you at the ballpark tonight. Game one, NLCS. As always, this is presented by Henderson and Watercutty. Thanks, Ben.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, bad time of the year. We must be a bad sports town, huh?
Unbelievable, isn't it? MLS, Blues win the Cup, Cardinals in the NLCS. Yeah, yeah. Really, really no support around here, that's for sure.
If only the SLU basketball team could win the 8-10 tournament.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. Unbelievable. You're good, my man. I'll see you next Friday.
Okay, buddy. Sounds good.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.